At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely.
My name is Valia. I joined the James Clark Ross for the first time in November 2019 for my first trip south, ultimately going to South Georgia as chef. But actually having the most amazing trip for my first ever trip south. I wrote a journal, and it's the thoughts of a rookie, really, seeing some things for the first time, but I really wanted to just share some of my thoughts with you, especially for those people who aren't as lucky as I am. And so we left the South Atlantic, heading south and east across the Southern Ocean, slightly to the east of Drake Passage, that notorious stretch of water between Cape Horn and the Antarctic Peninsula. I think we were blessed. The sea was relatively calm and the winds were light. The ship made her way with a gentle, slow, rocking motion through the waves. Everything felt comfortingly secure and solid. We crossed the Antarctic Convergence at around 56 degrees south. This is a variable position where the warm waters and air currents of the north meet the cold Antarctic waters and air from the south. It is considered to be the ecological Antarctic, as this is where conditions change suddenly, sometimes within the space of half an hour or so, and Antarctic species start to appear. The instruments record a sudden drop in water temperature by several degrees, down from about 10 degrees to between plus one and minus one, and a plummeting air temperature, which on that day was cold and clammy, down from around 14 degrees at that latitude to between minus one and minus two. There was no mistaking that we had crossed this line. As we sailed further south, the mist lifted. The sun shone coldly and the day became clear, bright and chilly. The waters behind the ship, churned by the propeller, sparkled a myriad of blues and greens. But my most enduring view that I see in my mind's eye whenever I close my eyes was of the albatross that joined us at the convergence and stayed with the ship for the next 5 days, wheeling and soaring, skimming, twisting and turning, matching every contour of the churning waves just millimetres above the waters. The black-browed albatross are absolutely magnificent creatures, so I was totally unprepared for the breathtaking sight of that greatest of all seabirds, the lone wandering albatross. They too shared our passage, for days and nights on end. But these are mysterious birds, at times like a ghostly apparition, disappearing between the distant waves, only to reappear in a vast gliding arc, then dipping to skim just above the water's surface. When full grown, their wingspan, tip to tip, measures well in excess of 3 metres. But the wings themselves are the slenderest of knife-edged precision engineering, slicing through the air like the sharpest blade. At times they would lift and disappear into the distance, no more than a thin line melding into the waves and the sky, gone in the blink of an eye, and leaving an uncertainty as to whether they had really been there at all. I loved the wanderers, the free spirits of the ocean and masters of the winds. Just imagine crossing the Southern Ocean in a red and white ice-strengthened ship making for an Antarctic island.
Are you a bit jealous?
That's amazing.
The Coldest Shift. Episode 5. We're very nearly there.
We've been at sea for 5 weeks now. Have had a really smashing week. We've seen a lot of
really, really cool wildlife. So turtles, albatross, an animal I've always wanted to see in flight behind the back of the ship. Just incredible. And some whales. We've also seen some penguins off the bow today. I didn't see them, but I've been told by about five or six people that it really was three king penguins. And I think if any of my friends back home knew that I was taking pictures of birds, being teetotal, going to bed at 10 o'clock in the evening, they would wonder what happened to me. Did find it a little bit tricky this week, just speaking to people at home. So at the moment, Great Britain's on a lockdown, so a lot of my friends are feeling kind of down on the dumps, not being able to get out and do the things they love, see the people they love, and, you know, work's a bit more stressful. So not being there for a lot of my friends has been a bit frustrating, but it's just difficult being there for people when you're not there. But I'm going to try and send a couple of my friends some letters from the Antarctic post office when we get to South Georgia. Hopefully that will be a bit more exciting than normal bills, but hopefully that'll all be okay. So I did call, I say I called home, I called you quite a lot.
Yes, you did. They're very welcome phone calls.
I couldn't just call you and say how amazing everything was because I was aware that you were working in the NHS during the middle of a COVID pandemic.
In the middle of a UK winter. It was really bleak times.
But we've hit really our first bout of bad weather. There were some bad times though. So there was a big storm that was coming off South America, predicted to bring 50 mile an hour winds, which to our very unprepared bunch of FIDs and scientists was a little bit daunting. Captain made a few wise decisions, has closed the lower deck, prevent people getting splashed and washed overboard. The first night we came across this 50 mile an hour winds with 6 metre waves was exciting. There's this weird phenomenon where the ship starts to rock and then every now and again it will hit a bigger wave, so you'll feel it go up, 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 and you know it's about to slam down and slam, and it sort of rocks there quite viciously for a few minutes before settling back.
The noise is insane.
And it's that movement really that starts making everything move around and shake. The problem is the other side of the doctor's cabin was the hospital. So I got woken up by the fluid cupboard springing open to lots of bags of fluid everywhere in rolling seas. The dentistry chair had what I can only describe as a seizure on the floor, and I walked in to find it rattling around and spinning around quite wildly. Scales flung from one side of the room to the other. So I can guarantee you I've probably got about 45 minutes sleep.
So it doesn't feel like we're moving around very much down here. On the bridge, I could barely stand up.
The lower down you go, the more stable you are.
That's a life motto, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We are 2 days away now from South Georgia, which is our first sight of land since the Tenerife, so that'll be really exciting. But what we did cross today was the Antarctic Convergence. I didn't know a huge amount about this before I came, but essentially the temperature has dropped quite significantly, both of the water temperature and the air temperature. And it's this sort of continuously changing and moving flow of water really around the Antarctic. Really good for species. They've got these sort of natural boundary where there's lots of krill, distinctive marine life, and it's where sort of the Antarctic Ocean meets the other oceans really. Seems to sort of vary from longitudes, but largely it sits between sort of the 48th and 61st of latitude, which means we really are on our way to the Antarctic. I'm just so excited. The hospital's been fairly quiet. We've had a couple of people in the last few days just with a few routine stuff. And today I got to use the dental equipment for the first time, which was quite exciting and nerve-wracking all at the same time. Obviously, I can't give you too many details, but it was something I felt kind of happy treating. Didn't require too much expertise, and worked through it with the patient and successfully treated my first ever dental case, which is quite cool to see. And I think I've done a good job. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to review her in a couple of days. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Rachel.
Yep. Did it work?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, great.
I think so.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
What's happened since we last spoke?
Actually, so I've been thinking really hard about this.
The swimming pool, as we call it, the biohazard, has left.
So I didn't even notice this.
The swimming pool has gone. There's been a lot of wildlife.
Well, speak for yourself. I think I've seen birds and More words?
Yeah, what happens to me is very similar. I get up to the monkey deck in my lunch break, and often I'm greeted by the phrase, "You've just missed." And then they'll reel off all of these animals I'd love to see.
Animals?
Animals?
Yeah, animals.
Animals.
So this is how I feel when you come into the conference room at lunchtime. I just seen a turtle, and then I seen a shark, and then I seen a whale.
I did want to tell you, I'm just holding your hand as well. I did want to tell you about the most romantic moment that's happened to me on the ship.
Was it this?
It wasn't. This is the second most romantic moment. Okay, the first romantic moment. I'm spinning at 6 with Neil. Not romantic.
I just in a circle. I'm just spinning in a circle.
Things are not that bad. I've been exercising in the gym with Neil. Not romantic. I come up the stairs, I go onto the deck, Neil goes away. I'm having my alone time, which means breathing and drinking water and trying not to die before going up 3 flights of stairs.
It's a lot of stairs.
I'm looking over the water. The French dude, you know, the French field guide, he comes up to me. He's got lovely shoulders.
It's the accent.
It's lovely. He says to me, "Oh, bonjour, how are you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, good." Trying to breathe.
Breathing over my arms.
He then touches my arm very lightly. The morning sky is clear, not cloud to be seen. The waves, a little bit choppy, but very still all at the same time. He says, "Oh, look, there is a fin." And about 4 metres away, maybe 5 at a push, there's a massive whale. Has a little spurt, a little funnel spurt, a blow.
Spurt.
And has
squirt.
Has a calf with her.
No way.
There was a humpback whale and her calf 4 or 5 metres away from us.
And a Frenchman told you about
10
it?
10 to 7 in the morning.
Oh, mate, I'm not awake at that time. Not a chance.
So I shouted whale really loudly because I'm never around when people see whales. But if I was, I'd want someone to shout whale. So I shouted whale. Lloyd comes running out and says, "Who's fallen overboard?" Look, there is
Lloyd,
fin.
There is a fin.
Other things I wanted to ask you about. Was it the night before or the night before that when we were in a tumble dryer?
I'm sorry, what?
You know, the waves and the tumble dryer.
Oh, right. I thought.
So we had plenty of warning that the weather was going to get rough.
Yeah.
Plenty of warning. I literally had everything tucked away.
You think so?
Literally everything. Forgot about the hospital.
Yeah.
It was rough, right?
Mm-hmm. It was. So your bed's fine because your bed runs forward to aft.
Yeah.
So when we're rolling from side to side, you get rocked in bed.
Yeah, that's why I took to sleeping in the recovery position. Safest place.
Arm tucked under.
Yeah, tucked under.
You're moving nowhere.
My only caveat, before you tell me about your awful night's sleep, there's a little gap here. See this little gap? What happens is the whole bed moves. Weird.
Mine's too.
Okay, tell me about your night's sleep.
So my bed, pardon me. Ooh, pardon me.
I hope we didn't
my bed
catch that.
runs the opposite way from yours. So when we're rolling, I'm moving up and down my bed.
You're being sawed in half all night.
It's awful.
Wow.
Yeah. And much the same as yours, like my mattress doesn't fit in the bed actual bunk.
No.
So the whole mattress dinks. Oh, and then another thing is a few cabins get new fridges put in. I was like, great, lovely, when I got on board. This is the first time my cabin's experienced rough weather since that fridge. Turns out my fridge was not secure.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, try to make a break for Discovery is what happened.
I'm
literally trying to come through the door at me, and I was like, I should probably do something about this. So what I've done is I get my spare pillows and like wedged it in.
Spare pillows? You've got spare pillows?
I've got 2.
Oh, you've got one now.
And you hear do you hear the whale noises?
Yeah, tell me about the whale noises.
So that's just like water moving about in one of our stabilising tanks. Mm. So it just, because it moves nice and slowly with the waves.
It's singing.
And it just whistles.
Yeah.
It's really annoying though.
It's romantic.
Do you think so?
Before we move on to my next question, a bad thing happened today.
Oh, shit.
So I went up to speak to Graham, Captain, about asking him for shore leave. He wasn't in his office, so I left my timesheet, whatever you call them, on his desk. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, I probably need to wait for him to come back because I really do need to ask if I can have shore leave. So I was walking past and I was like, oh, I haven't eaten breakfast yet, Miss Sausage Smoko. So I popped into their little cafe, their little little kitchen on their level, and I devoured 3 Bourbon biscuits at exactly the same time that Graham walked past. And I got rumbled with crumbs all around my face.
Just a second.
That's exactly what happened. Were you there? He said,
physically imagine.
He literally said, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I was like, are you eating my biscuits?" And I said, "No."
Did you pull that face?
Geraldine then came out and said, "Have you eaten my biscuits?"
Oh, shit.
To which I realised I was in grave danger.
crumbs still hanging off your face.
No! Stuck in such a sticky situation. Luckily, I managed to eat the biscuits because they were quite soft by that point. And it's I reassured them that I actually was eating... I'm crying. I was actually eating the gone-off biscuits to save them.
The soggy biscuits.
I didn't want them to eat soggy biscuits.
As a medical professional, soggy biscuits is not what you're looking for.
Oh, my gosh.
A minute you need to say, I can just say it as a medical professional.
And other good news is the ship's 30th birthday today.
Hooray! The other big thing that happened today is that this ship turned 30.
Happy birthday to you.
So we had a 30th birthday party in the middle of the Antarctic Ocean for a big red ship called James.
What did you do for it?
We had a cake, we had a wee photo op. Somebody had made a wee miniature origami ship.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like cute. And then they come up to the bar and lit the candles. But the ship is made out of paper and the wee origami ship is still in the middle of the cake. And they lit the four candles round the ship. So then we all sang happy birthday and we're like, yay! And the candles are still burning and nobody wants to blow them out because they don't want to blow their breath onto this.
They don't want to set the ship alight on its 30th birthday.
So we were quite lucky that the captain on board had been there when the boat was first launched 30 years previously in 1991. So he had printed out loads of newspaper cuttings from the day it was launched and the Queen was there, and he'd posted them around the ship.
I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn here, but there might be a bottle of Prosecco with all your meals at dinner. Ooh. And then a free bar. That's not true.
Did the captain do a speech?
He did. He did a beautiful speech and essentially thanked the ship for all of those years of great memories. Everyone loves a 30th birthday party, and there is nothing more special than spending it on board a ship who has done that incredible journey for 30 years of her life. His life. Oh, is it a boy?
No, all ships are female, aren't they?
Why are ships called she's?
Because they're hard work.
Keep it recording.
Are you going to be able to re-edit all this?
No, I'm just the fact finder.
The inquisitor.
Just the lady. The nice lady.
The doctor.
The nice lady doctor.
Do you feel like you've got any relationship to Doctor Who, or is it just the title that you share similar?
Having never watched Doctor Who, yes.
So, as an engineer that works on a 30-year-old vessel that is mature into the prime, how do you feel that is?
Hard work. I love it. It's life-changing, this boat. It's absolutely changed my whole perception on seagoing, and the people are just fantastic.
So one of the jobs I've seen up lately is helping out in the engineering department, polishing lots of brass.
I feel so under pressure.
This isn't like the other day, is it?
No. We sat on my bed. Like, I was basically laid down. We were Googling poo charts.
Is that to check the the blockage that was occurred in the toilet earlier on today?
There's been a blockage.
I missed this blockage.
You found a blockage?
And I knew nothing about it.
A poo blockage went over your head.
Apparently so.
Afternoon, folks. We're very nearly there. I think you might actually be able to see South Georgia by sunset tonight, depending on this, but if this is really good, then you might be able to get a glimpse of it. So we'll see what happens. But the general plan for tomorrow is the ship will enter Cumberland Bay around 8 a.m. and then they'll look to start getting lines ashore at 9. Right, a little bit of biosecurity, and then I've got some photos of the potential walks that we can do in Solid.
How excited are you about tomorrow and the day after?
You know what, I can't wait to go off on dry land, spread my legs, spread...
Do you mean spread my wings?
Stretch my legs.
Wow, that happened. I'm so sorry. Please don't include this whatsoever.
No.
Apparently the gift shop will be open. They'll hold things against the wall and you can point at what you want and then you put your contactless card against the window.
Excellent.
And apparently the post office is going to work the same.
Yes, take my credit card.
Yeah,
yes.
Take your credit card.
I'm going to go shopping.
Shopping in the Antarctic.
No.
Oh, look, my microphone's all the way there. I probably haven't recorded anything.
Good morning. We have just come to a beautiful part of the world.
This is one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen. So this morning, set my alarm for 6, came up, fully booted, merino wool layers everywhere. Mark, who's one of our field guides, the Swiss Army knife of the outdoors world.
And how would you describe our arrival to where we are and where we are, Rach?
I was completely silent for once in my life because after days of seeing mist, we saw these little snowy tap-capped mountains over there and a couple of seals, and now all we can see is mountains, and it's incredible.
The sea mist just all of a sudden lifted, and on the horizon was this mountainous, snow-filled landscape. There was no warning of this island. It was just blue, 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 mountains.
It did feel like we just went into Jurassic Park and arrived out of the mist and saw amazing glaciers and staggering peaks.
There was not a single person visible. There were no buildings, no lampposts, no cars, nothing man-made.
Words don't do it justice.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, penguin, penguin.
South Georgia specifically is this haven of wildlife, and they underwent a big project a few years ago to eradicate all non-native species. So this included the rat population. So rats had come aboard from back in the whaling station days. They also had a problem with deer, which I think the Norwegians brought over as part of the whaling station as well. So when we go to South Georgia, you're not allowed off unless you have removed anything that doesn't belong there from your clothing. So you have to go through this rigmarole of hoovering out your backpack. So
that includes seeds, dirt, dust.
You're not allowed a single grain of anything.
So we're not allowed to take fruit to South Georgia.
The Velcro of your raincoat, you have to make sure there's no seeds.
You're not allowed to take leaves.
Jumpers, trousers, shorts. The boots is probably the biggest pain. It's all in an effort to prevent anything non-native getting onto the island, to the extent you're not allowed to take cereal bars ashore.
I'm not allowed to take lettuces. So I'll have to put all my lettuces back.
We sort of followed one of the mountain ranges round and ended up facing in this glacier called the Nordenskjold Glacier, which is retreating, and that leads to a lot of our knowledge about glacial retreat. And we turn the corner, and again, just mountains upon mountains covered in snow, and this tiny little row of red huts and about five people waving at us. They hadn't had any reliefs. They'd all been working the entire winter, so these people had been there for coming up to, I think, 14 months working. They were so excited to see their new colleagues who were going to take the strain for them, but also to have new kit, new equipment and new faces. The problem was because it was during the pandemic and you don't want to bring COVID to the Antarctic, let alone a small island thousands of miles from any help. So whilst we were allowed off the ship onto the island to take our first steps on land for over a month, we didn't go into any of the buildings or go too close to any of the island staff just to protect them.
Been having a chat with Dr. Dave, who's over at KEP King Edward Point on South Georgia already, and he's just excited as we are, which is really great news.
The man behind the Christmas tree. Can you see?
I see you on screen.
Okay, good. So welcome to South Georgia. The aim of this briefing is to help you get the most out of your visit while causing as low a level of impact as possible to the environment and the wildlife, and also to keep you safe while you're here. So we'll start with a little background. It's one of the UK's overseas territories. We have our own government, that's the government of South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands, and they are responsible for making all their own laws. They decide how much tax they want me to pay, they decide who can and cannot come in. We have immigration control, but the main thing they're trying to do with everything I'm saying to you and everything, every policy they ask me to implement, is just to protect the environment of South Georgia. They are self-financing and their operating costs are about £6 million a year, and they spend most of this on protection of the fisheries, our fishery protection vessel. They make most of their money from the sale of fishing licences, and a small amount of money comes from, not this year, but in general, tourism, when it's all happening normally. So this is where you are, alongside the jetty here at King Edward Point. No fresh produce is to be brought ashore, so you can't have an apple or a mango or a banana or a pineapple in your packed lunch. You can have cheese and tuna, that's fine, but no egg. Poultry has the risk of passing avian diseases to our penguins. Crisps are okay. So while you are ashore, please respect the environment and the wildlife. It's the most important thing that we have here. Everything's protected by law, so you can't pick up any souvenirs. So no pebbles, no feathers, no bones, no teeth. No rusty bits of metal, and you go, oh, that'd look really nice in my garden. It's all heritage. Leave it all where it is. Leave nothing but footprints is a very good sentiment, but we don't even want you to leave footprints on the sensitive vegetation. Mostly this is moss, it's bright green, and if you put a big footprint in there, they could take years to recover, so be careful where you are standing. You will see king penguins here. Some of them are on the beaches. Other ones you will see in small groups. They might be standing in water or in a patch of snow, and they look really fluffy. But these are the molting ones, so they're changing their feathers. It takes about 3 weeks. They can't go in the sea while this is happening, so they're hungry and they're a little bit grumpy, and they really can't afford to have to shuffle out of your way. You've arrived in the main fur seal breeding season, so you will see the black pups with their mums, the females, and also the males. They are aggressive. They have big teeth and plenty of bacteria inside their mouths. So if you are bitten, then it's really important that you see the doctor as soon as possible, or you don't want to die a horrible, long, drawn-out septic death because you got scratched by a fur seal. That would be horrible. Terns are very noisy and small, delicate birds that will dive bomb you between here and Grytviken. They've got a nest on the side of the track. When they do this dive bombing, that is what they're trying to tell you: keep away from my nest.
Does it help if you have a sacrificial tool purse in your group?
Yeah. So the weather is very changeable here. It might look warm and sunny, it probably is, but it's very windy also, and we have the hole in the ozone layer that's right over us at the moment. So factor 50 sunscreen at all times. And if you're going on a walk, just be prepared for all seasons.
So we need 3 more people to help boxes off the hospital, and I'll meet you on the hearth. Meet on the ski. See you in 2 days' time.
We were taking a doctor, and there was already a doctor there.
Hello.
Hello.
So I relinquished my medical duties, and all of us, including the crew and the FIDs, we went off exploring.
I'm a little bit jealous that you get to live here.
So South Georgia is this beautiful mountainous island with no one else living on it apart from the people at the research base. And I went off for a nice walk with a couple of people from the ship.
I cannot believe that this is our day's work. I mean, I know I'm short leave, but...
We walked round from the station to the old whaling station at Grytviken, which is an abandoned whaling station from back in the Norwegian times.
There is no stopping. The horses are ringing. This is where they seem to feel better about the present killing whales.
We walked up a very small mountain. I call it a mountain because they rise out of the sea, they look like mountains, but it's actually only about 350 metres high, so it feels like a mountain. But actually round here, you'd probably call them hills. So we walked over this hill called Brown Mountain. And that was my first experience of South Georgia scree. So it's a mountainous island that's full of very small rocks. So it looks easy to walk over, but actually you take 1 footstep up and 2 down. So you have to walk quite cleverly on the scree there.
Right, Gandhi?
Spoil, I just want to stop like every second.
Yeah, I know. Here we are. And
as we climbed over the top of Brown Mountain, having not really stepped foot on land for an awfully long time, the sights were just incredible, and you could see across the island to Mount Sugartop and Juice on the other side, these big mountains, very famous in the Shackleton story.
Me and Katie haven't seen Shack's grave, so we'll go for a bit of a wander when we get back.
And across down to this place called Penguin River. Now, it's self-explanatory. It is a river that comes off one of the glaciers, full of penguins. And as soon as you got to the top of this mountain, you could hear the penguins and the seals right down at the bottom playing in the river. And the noise was just incredible. Penguins chirping, seals farting, seals squirming, penguins biting each other and causing a bit of a scene.
It's just sizing you up.
We climbed down the very steep slope around the other side, down onto Penguin River, and had our first battle with some very angry seals.
I'm a strong, independent woman. You do not need to chase me. You do not need to attack me.
Who weren't too happy to see us.
You are very nice seals.
So they don't see very many people, and sat there and watched the penguins play in the water for at least an hour or so before remembering we had to walk all the way back to the ship.
We have just walked across a sea of penguins, Rachel.
That's a bit excessive. The sea is full of water.
The sun is still super high. Glaciated mountains. Lovely penguins. There's a seal swimming in the water.
There's 2 types here.
They're king penguins and Gentoo penguins. Oh, look at the Gentoo. This is my first.
South Georgia is made very famous by Shackleton and his expedition on the Endurance. Not only did he stop off here on his way down, he also got rescued back here. And he is buried at Gritviken, which is just over the bay from where the base is. And he faces south, where he so desperately wanted to get to. And his right-hand man, Frank Wild, is buried just next to him, who looked after his men on Elephant Island whilst he was going to search rescue. So it's an incredible island, not only just the wildlife, the mountains, but all of that history just going on around you.
The thing that gets me most about it is how green.
Yes.
It is, actually.
I wasn't expecting
it's
it to be green.
No,
we're sub-Antarctic.
Yeah, it's in the title, isn't it?
Yeah. But I didn't think it would be this green. I thought it would have patches of green. But
it's really nice. Yeah. It's so pleasant.
Yeah, I feel like all the colours are so vibrant because we haven't had colour. We've just had blue.
Yeah.
So like the green is green and the white is white.
You don't hear the engines
anymore. Lovely, isn't it?
Like, didn't realise 3 months with AC and background noise how nice it is just to have silence.
I love your enthusiasm. We were only at sea for, like, 6 weeks. 3 months.
Well, you know.
28 days, actually.
Thank you, boys. That was wonderful.
Oh, a couple of days is not enough there.
Absolutely not. Leaving it was the worst thing.
Mm.
Had a very emotional farewell to these people who we bonded very quickly with and left them on this beautiful island.
So good to see you, Dave. We love you.
The captain again kissed his way out of the mooring and we turned around and that sea mist that had greeted us on the way there descended once more.
And thus we went along. And thus we returned. I refer the text of the 10th day beginning to this record.
The Coldest Shift is presented by Dr. Rachel Varnum and Dr. Jenna Plank. The series is produced by Rachel Varnum and John Wakefield. The executive producers are Claire Broughton and Laura Varnum. The studio engineer was Alex O'Donovan. With thanks to the British Antarctic Survey and the British Antarctic Survey Medical Unit. Find out more about their crucial work at bas.ac.uk.
I chose Stick of the Dump by Clive King.
I've chosen Little Women by Louisa May Alcott.
I have chosen the book When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit.
I have chosen My Friend Flicker.
Danny, Champion of the World.
The Seven Crystal Balls.
The Iron Man.
Claudine at St. Clair's.
The Guinness Book of Records.
I chose Ballyshoes.
And then I came across in a school library a copy of Treasure Island. I was terrified.
I'm Janet Ellis, and each week I invite a guest to come and chat with me about their favourite childhood book. They often bring along their own battered copy.
It's not at all as I remember it.
This is a celebration of reading.
I ended up reading it to my mum at home every night.
Because who doesn't still secretly check under the bed for monsters?
I knew that it was true.
Harbour secret desires to run off to the circus.
Riding like the wind into the purple hills. It really captured my imagination.
Twice Upon a Time. Follow us on Instagram at Twice Upon Pod for updates and guest news.
I want to read this book again and again and again and again and again.
Twice Upon a Time is a Hat Trick podcast.